And turn to Galatians chapter 2. That's what we will be discussing and covering today. That, as we talked about last week, that is the parallel passage to Acts chapter 15. And what transpired here is after Paul and Barnabas have finished this second missionary journey, this first missionary journey, they are here at Antioch of Syria, and Peter is here in Galatians. This is going to be Paul's account of what happens. And then Acts 15 is Luke's account of what happens after this Galatians account that Paul gives here in Galatians chapter 2. But Peter is here in Antioch, and I'm going to say everything obviously is going real well, which is going to be encompassed in what Luke said at the end of Acts chapter 14, that they spent a considerable amount of time in Antioch. So Paul and Barnabas were here teaching, and I'm going to assume, great success, everything going well. And, Peter has come up here. So, and it's not stated why, but very likely he's hearing about all the great success, so he comes up. And so you have Peter, Paul, and Barnabas, and whoever else, the other unnamed people, and then all the congregation and all there. And then Peter is eating with the Gentiles, the Christian Gentiles. We shouldn't be differentiating, but, because Jesus said there's not going to be any differentiation or any separation among you. Everyone's going to be on the equal playing field. But they were separating themselves, and that's what comes about with this contention here in Galatians 2 and then Acts 15. But here Peter is, there's no problem of any sort. Peter is eating with these Gentiles who have become Christians. Everything is just fine. Then there's a group of Jewish Christians that come up from Jerusalem and come to Antioch. And both Paul and Luke refer to these as certain men. And when they came up, then Peter would not eat with the Gentile Christians anymore. So it was because of these men. So obviously, when Peter and I guess the other apostles, they were separating completely, and maybe there weren't any Gentiles to speak of, and I guess there probably were none whatsoever here in this Jerusalem congregation. Well, this brought the ire up of Paul whenever Peter, and then not only Peter, then Barnabas followed suit along with Peter and stopped eating with the Gentile Christians. And doing just exactly the way that they acted and the Jews did for centuries and millennia before, and reverted right back. And so then that Paul says in Galatians 2 that he had to confront Peter to the face over that issue there. Then also this is going to obviously start a little rift, have a crack between Paul and Barnabas that becomes a rift over John Mark. But I'm going to say this also played a part right here, because Paul brought this up, and this really bothered him that both Paul and Barnabas and Peter were treating the Gentile Christians differently than the Jewish Christians. Then, that wasn't all, because there were men, and now it's not ever explained exactly, but Paul brings this out here in Galatians to the congregations of Galatia, which namely are Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. This is where Paul spent most of his time, probably a good part of 3 years here teaching these, and then on his way back home, he appointed elders in these congregations. And somewhere in there, delegates, these probably these same kind, but what ultimately in Paul tells us, Luke tells us who they are in Acts 15 as far as who they're from. These are Pharisees who have become Christians, and they are holding to the old law. Well, they have convinced, and with this term that Paul uses in the first verse of Galatians 3, of who bewitched you, the word bewitched, I looked into that just a little further. It was more, has a connotation that these delegates were slandering Paul in his teaching, and they were buying into that in this slander against Paul. That's what this that word bewitched, which is like an evil eye or something, which is kind of foreign to us in our thinking. But anyway, that's what they said, that word bewitched has a connotation of, that it was not just the false teaching that all of the Gentiles must obey and conform to the old covenant and to circumcision. And this was just Christianity was just another branch of Judaism instead of a hard break and a complete separation. It was also slander that these congregations had bought into, and that resulted in this strong letter of Paul to the congregations in Galatia. And then finally, there's two things that go on here in Galatians chapter 2. It is this confrontation that Paul has to the face with Peter in Antioch. And then hear what we'll get into when we get back to Acts chapter 15. This the issue of binding Judaism on the Gentiles that has come up and come to Paul's attention once these certain other men that were former Pharisees, and I guess, who knows, they probably still claim to be Pharisees. And anyway, probably many of them were priests and whatnot, but they were obviously highly respected even to... They were so highly respected even among Peter and Barnabas that they completely separated from the Gentiles and would have nothing to do with them. So that's obviously what the congregation in Jerusalem was doing at the time. So Paul and Barnabas and Silas then go down to Jerusalem they end up having a meeting, a delegation, a conference of some of sorts to straighten the congregation out and let them know that that is not acceptable in any shape, matter, or form. And so then, before the meeting, however, then Paul again talks to Peter and then also James and John. So the two apostles, Peter and John, and then Jesus's brother, who was an elder here in this congregation, that those three, he had a conference with them before the conference with the whole congregation to make sure they were all on the right page and all on the same page, and they all were. And so when the council or this conference happens, then it is Peter and James that orchestrate that conference and have everything straight. And that's where we get Acts chapter 15. Okay, so that's where we're, that's the background and what this chapter in Galatians is over. And then which now, the whole book of Galatians is basically about the same thing, to straighten them out, to let them know that they are not to be obeying the old law. That was the old law of sin, and that is dead and gone, and now they are under the new covenant. And Paul even told them, this is nothing about what I taught you. You're taking some other different message, which was the message to conform to the old law. Okay, now I've got a two-page overview that I'm going to read as an introduction to Galatians 2. Then we'll read this chapter and see Paul's account of what happens before the Acts 15 account. Okay, in the preceding chapter, which Galatians chapter 1, Paul revealed that the Galatians were questioning two things about him: his being an apostle of Jesus Christ, and his message being the right message, which was the message he brought to them when he first preached there. So these certain men, these former Pharisees that came from Jerusalem, came up there teaching them, and then they were, they had these congregations questioning Paul being an apostle of Jesus, and then questioning the message that he taught, which was that this is a new covenant and we are not any longer conforming to the old covenant. That was crucified as the Hebrew writer, which some think that was Paul himself, but wrote that the old law was nailed to the cross. When Jesus died, it was ended there when he was sacrificed. Okay. False teachers had discredited Paul in the minds of the Galatians in these two areas. And so that's where this word, who bewitched you, is coming from. It was also a discreditation of Paul. And then, unfortunately, these congregations were buying into that. In Galatians 1:11, Paul began a historical account of his life in service to the true gospel that he received from Jesus. He was trying to show that he did not receive his gospel from the apostles or any other man. Now, he began to develop the theme mentioned in the last verse of chapter 1. His aim was to prove that in addition to receiving his message or gospel directly from the Messiah and not from the apostles in Jerusalem, these notable people in Jerusalem actually agreed with his proclamations. The gathering in Jerusalem recorded in Acts 15 has been made to mean many things. It has been suggested that Paul, Barnabas, and Titus, I think I said Silas a while ago, it's Titus that Paul took, Barnabas and Titus, went there to receive the truth on the subject of circumcision because that was where the apostles were headquartered. This assumption cannot be true because few of the apostles were there at that time. Only Peter and John are mentioned. The other apostles were busy obeying the Great Commission all over the world. In addition, it would have ruined Paul's argument in this epistle if he had to go to Jerusalem to know the truth on this or any other question. His reasoning was that he did not have to go to Jerusalem to learn what God's will was on any subject. It was revealed directly to him, just as it was revealed to the other apostles. The reason that Paul, Barnabas, and Titus went to Jerusalem was because the false teachers came from there. Since the false teachers came from the Jerusalem congregation, Paul went there so that the elders and apostles could make a decision and do what had to be done about the false teachers from their congregation. In Acts, Luke indicated that they had this idea in their minds when they began the letter that they would send out in Acts chapter 15 by stating in verse 24, "Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment," is the statement that they are disavowing what these false teachers that came from Jerusalem had been saying. They said that they were getting this message and were sent by James. And this is a complete disavowing of that false claim. So the false teachers' home congregation was appealed to, and the leaders there dealt with the problem. This example should be followed today, but it must also be realized that this is not a precedent for calling a group of preachers or leading brethren together to make a decision by which the brotherhood should be ruled. Where this practice has been attempted in the brotherhood, trouble and chaos have arisen. Paul did not need to go to Jerusalem to find the truth on the subject under consideration. He already had the truth, and when he presented it, the elders and apostles there agreed with him and acted accordingly. Okay, now we'll read Galatians chapter 2 and go over the text here that Paul is telling the Galatians what has transpired here in Antioch. So, Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, Paul says, "Then after 14 years, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and also took Titus with me." So, now, this 14 years, now people have various thoughts on what that 14 years is, but Kaufman is very confident that this is 14 years since he's become a Christian. And so, and also, as we'll cover maybe next week, but in Acts 15, he comments on this chapter, and he brings up that there's a secondary check that that is 14 years. This is 14 years from the time that he had become a Christian. And so he has a two-way check to verify that. And, but anyway, this is after they, and he's going to go and talk about what had happened in the past, but they have left Antioch and they've come down to Jerusalem is what he's telling them. And then Paul has brought Barnabas and Titus with him. And he says, "I went up by revelation and communicated to them that the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to those who were of reputation, lest by any means I might run or had run in vain." Now, these who were of reputation are the apostles who are named Peter and John, and then and maybe that's all. But he refers, I believe, four times to them as men of reputation, referring to the apostles. Now, you know, some may think that's all 12, but with only two of them being mentioned, Peter and John, I'm confident this overview that I read was from the Contending for the Faith commentary. And I think he had it more correct that all of the other 10 apostles were all over the world spreading the gospel to every human, just as Jesus commanded in the Great Commission. And so that's why they're not mentioned, because they're not there. And it's just these two apostles, and then James and Elder are basically three of the leaders there, and they have not done a very good job, and Paul's having to straighten all of them out, which they can form. on this at this occasion. And verse 3, yet not even Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. So Paul is saying this is a completely different a message of conforming to the old covenant than I taught any of those of you here, any of you Gentiles here, while he was in Asia Minor teaching and in the Galatia territory. And that's a completely different message. And verse 4, and this occurred because of false brethren. These are these Pharisees that came from Jerusalem, from this Jerusalem congregation, secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. Here they were wanting to, though everyone who was freed from the law, to be bound back by the law. Not only the Jews who had become Christians, they were freed from the law, and now they're wanting to bind back on them, and then they're wanting even to bind the Gentiles in addition to that onto the law. Verse 5, to whom we did not yield submission even for an hour, and that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So, you know, this was obviously a contentious, and but Paul and, you know, this group, at least these other two, did not submit any of this at all, of this false teaching. But from those who seem to be something, this is another reference to, at the very least, Peter and John, you know, and maybe even James in that. Whatever they were, I don't. This is somewhat strange how Paul is referring to them. It makes no difference to me. God shows personal favoritism to no man. For those who seem to be something added nothing to me. So that's another. Those that seem to be something were these of the high reputation, the apostles at the very least. But on the contrary, when they saw that the gospel for the uncircumcised had been committed to me, as the gospel for the circumcised was to Peter, for he who worked effectively in Peter for the apostleship to the circumcised also worked effectively in me toward the Gentiles. So they were both equally effective. Peter to the Jews, that's the circumcised, and then Paul with the Gentiles was equally effective with the Gentiles. In verse 9, and now we'll notice that Paul, for whatever reason, uses the Aramaic name of Peter here as Cephas. So instead of he used the Greek word for Peter here in verse 7, but then in verse 9, he switches to the Aramaic word for Peter, but they both mean exactly the same thing, a stone or a pebble. This is the same name that Jesus had given Peter, but why he wrote in verse 7 and 8, the Greek word for Peter, and then in verse 9, the Aramaic or the Hebrew word for Peter, I don't know, and I didn't really get an answer as even a thought of why, but anyway, he did. So, but this is Peter, James, Cephas, and John, who seem to be pillars. So he names these, and he's already talked about high reputation, and those who were something, he names them here. They were pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me. They gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go to the Gentiles and they to the circumcised. So this was more talking about Paul and Barnabas's beginning their first missionary journey and Paul is giving the background of why Paul and Barnabas came to them here in Asia Minor in this Galatian territory and evangelized to them and taught them. And then Peter, James, and John stayed with the Jews. Verse 10, they desired only that we should remember the poor, the very thing which I also was eager to do. Well, that was from Acts chapter 11, is whenever this was first prophesied about, this drought that was coming. And so they knew they were going to go through a severe famine. And so this remember the poor meant the poor saints in Jerusalem that were going to be financially struggling during this famine that was going to be hitting Jerusalem. And Paul was always eager to raise funds to help them. Verse 11. Now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face because he was to be blamed. So this is when Peter came from Jerusalem up to Antioch, and he's going to tell us why. For certain men came from James. Now see, in Acts 15, James and the apostles refute that, but these men claimed to come from James. And so before these people, certain men came from the Jerusalem congregation up to Antioch, Peter would eat with the Gentiles. But when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. And these are these false teachers. Verse 13, and the rest of the Jews also played the hypocrite with him, so that even Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy. So when Peter quit eating with the Gentiles, Barnabas and also the other Jews that were in the congregation there at Antioch, they followed suit with Peter and carried away with their hypocrisy. Verse 14, but when I saw that they were not straightforward about the truth of the gospel, I said to Peter before them all, if you, being a Jew, live in the manner of Gentiles and not as the Jews, why do you compel Gentiles to live as Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. There was no justification under the old covenant because the Messiah had not come and shed his blood. That was the only justification and the only redemption of sins. There was no forgiveness of sins until the Messiah came and established his kingdom. Verse 17, but if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves are also found sinners, is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. So here the old law was destroyed, and now Paul is saying if he rebuilds and starts teaching the old law again, then he's going to be a transgressor. And he's telling these false teachers and he's saying this to Peter straight to his face in this confrontation, that he's also a transgressor by going along with these false teachers from Jerusalem. Verse 19, for I through the law died to the law that I might live to God. So he died, the law was dead to him, and it should not be rebuilt, built again, as he said in verse 18. And then here in verse 20, this is a very famous verse that has even been put to a song. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In verse 21, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Okay, so righteousness never came through the law, and he's saying it doesn't come through now within the new kingdom. So it never did then in the past, and it doesn't now. And if it did, then Christ died in vain. And then I'll finish up with chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified? So this is a reference to these false teachers who had also gone up to this area of Galatia that results in this very first book, first epistle or letter that Paul has written. This is the very first one, and it's right after the first missionary journey, and he's already having to write them to straighten them out from the false teaching that they've fallen into. And that results in the book of Galatians. So we will end there, and Lord willing, we will pick up with Acts chapter 15 next week.